This is Nadine Langlois, and I enjoy listening to Cut to the Chase podcast with Gregory Proctor.
Two, one. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 7. It's about you. I'm your host, Gregory Proctor, with Cut to the Chase. Today, we've got two remarkable ladies that I have met, both through LinkedIn. One happens to be my life coach, which you guys have heard me talk about in a prior segment. And the other young lady is, my God, I mean, her backstory and accolades are just, they're quite impressive. So I'm going to jump right into this and basically talk a little bit about the theme of this podcast, which is basically going to be structured around, are you happy? This poses a challenge for us to discuss today, and we're hoping to create kind of a memorable dialogue. And as I get into this, I'd like to share something with you guys that I received this morning, which, most people go, wow, this guy's kind of nuts. And sometimes he says things that are kind of off kilter, but I'm going to be totally vulnerable and totally honest. This came from my psychic, and I read it this morning and I was like, wow, you know, I'm getting ready to have a podcast on this. And so therefore, I think I will share this with our listening audience. And what she shared with me this morning, I think kind of sets the stage with the question that we're going to talk about today. Are you happy? You know, it's about you. And so I'm going to read this to our listening audience. Change is inevitable, but transformation is a journey with no final destination. You must live patient, but also hope, ready to receive the miracle of good fortune in the days to come. The greatness of miracle of all life and your mere existence is a blessing. Be proud of yourself, for you are here in the now and you are surviving. Now is the time to discover how your life path shall expand beyond what you feel is impossible and uncover sacred secrets of happiness and real achievement. When I read that this morning, not only to my special guests, but to my audience, that was quite inspiring. That really touched my soul. And certainly, I'm happy to even have this discussion with my two guest speakers. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce our guest speakers, and then we're going to jump right into this. So what do you guest speakers think about that? Yeah, I think so. All right.
Yeah, so, let's do it.
Okay, so our first guest speaker, Miss Nadine Langlois. As I've mentioned before, she's been my life coach for about 6 months now, and we've just become great pals. And I enjoy her insight and inspiration. It's certainly been very transcending and transforming for me. So Nadine's backstory is very unconventional. She's a life coach, skilled entrepreneur, and has journeyed her model in relationship specialists as far as in-depth compassion, knowledge, and understanding that can only be derived from experience. And I know that's a lot to say formally, but you know, firsthand, she has handled and understand devastation of burnout, heartache, and just the challenge of balancing the demands of her career as being an entrepreneur and as a mother and as a life partner. And through her self-exploration, therapy, and life coaching, she has been able to help many in their overall journey of transformation. And my hats go off to Nadine. I mean, she's a wonderful person, and just, you know, the accolade list just goes on and on and on and on. And so for my second special guest, Christina Thompson, I can't even begin to describe the number of things that Christina is involved with. I mean, it's quite impressive to our audience. She's a realtor. She's an attorney. She's a real estate investor. She graduated from Winston-Salem State University in the Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology and Criminal Justice. She also has an MBA from North Carolina State University Central University School of Business. She also graduated with her law degree from North Carolina Central University School of Law. And I tell you, with all of those things that she does, as far as being a juvenile activist, being the founder of Teens in Transition, better known as TNT, being a mom and being very much a LinkedIn influencer, I can't think of two more remarkable women to basically talk about the subject of Are You Happy? And so I'd like to basically give Christina to talk here for a moment. Do you have any opening remarks for our audience?
Sure. Well, I mean, about what though? About our topic?
About yourself, you know, if anything you'd like to share about yourself.
Okay. Well, I mean, you did a good job. you did a good job introducing. I mean, I can't really add much to that. But aside from that, I mean, those are the things that I do. Those are the things that I'm involved with, but I'm very much involved with people and helping them move out of their own way. So this topic is near and dear to my heart because this is something that a lot of people struggle with and just trying to figure out, how can I be happy when I'm not where I want to be? And that's a lot of people's story. So this is exciting. And this is one of the things that I talk to people about. So
Excellent. Well, it's certainly a delight to have you on the podcast today. And we look forward to having further dialogue with you. So, Nadine, do you have a few opening remarks for our listening audience?
Yeah, well, this is the second time that you give me such a beautiful intro into a podcast. And I keep thinking, I got to hire this guy to like write my biography. So, yeah, this question of... you know, are you happy is one of the scariest questions out there for so many people. And I really think that it's going to strike a chord with a lot of the listeners. So I'm really looking forward to exploring this.
Excellent. And I appreciate both of you again for being on board. And without further ado, let's jump right in. So first question that I have for you, Christina, basically it derives from our subject. I mean, it's about you, but in the same aspect of saying that it is about you as an individual, we have to look within oneself. And so my question to you, Christina, is, are you happy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. How about you, Nadine? Are you happy?
I am really happy. And I've definitely, most of my life, have not been happy. And so I can really say that with so much conviction in knowing that I can be surrounded now with a lot of trial and tribulation and still be happy. So I can definitely say that it's not necessarily a circumstantial thing.
So for those that may be listening that are in a space of thinking that happiness really is not something that they feel at this moment, what would you consider as maybe an option or kind of a remark of positivity that you would say to that individual? Christina.
So I don't want your listeners and you guys to get me wrong when I said I'm happy at this moment. That is something that I've created. And that is, to me, what happiness is. It's not necessarily where you have to be in the position where you would want to be, or you have to have the spouse that you want, or you have to have the relationship that you want with your kids at this moment in order to be happy. Mm-hmm. It's saying, okay, where am I at right now? Mm-hmm. And where do I want to be? Mm-hmm. I understand those feelings and I feel where I want to be, and I focus on those things because I know it's well within my reach. But right now, in this moment, I need to, one, be in the moment, and two, I need to be grateful for everything that I do have. So mine was a big thing. What held me back from experiencing true happiness was finances. Oh my gosh. That was a big thing for me. And I wasn't reaching where I wanted to reach and my end goal. And that was just keeping me, I was just like, well, how can you be happy when you're worried about when the mortgage is going to be paid, how it's going to be paid, and the bills? And I just don't understand.
Right.
But really getting tired, and you know, we'll talk about all that, you know, soon and later in this, but just really holding tight to what it is that you want and you desire, and really believing that this can happen, and mm-hmm. knowing that it's right behind whatever, you know, whatever door it may be, but I know it's coming, it's on the horizon, and you being grateful for, hey, I got through today. Mm-hmm. I paid my bills. I have more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
And just really understanding that. So that's where I am at.
Okay. Any comments to that, Nadine?
Yeah. I've really come to learn that, see, for Christina, her point of pain was finances. My point of pain was often relationships. And I found myself in unhappy because of the relationships that I was in. And what I would say is, when you have that feeling of unhappiness, that's actually a feeling you can be grateful for, because that is you looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that serves as sort of a bell that's saying, listen, like, please pay attention. There's a reason why you're not happy. And even though, you know, like, the base of what we're saying here, me and Christina, and of course yourself, is your happiness doesn't have to rely on outer circumstances like your relationships and finances. However, there's a lot that you can do to help yourself in those situations, in certain situations, in relationships. A lot of times, because I felt unhappy in a relationship, I came to understand that I was in an unhealthy situation that was not suitable for me, and I was able to remove myself from that. So there's often a lot more in our control than we realize, mm-hmm. and a lot more that we can do for ourselves than we realize. That's one of the things, is like, honestly, don't hate the feeling of being unhappy. Be grateful that you and yourself, your soul, your spirit is looking out for you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that is something for me, as I kind of jump into this conversation with you ladies. For many years, for me, my kind of happiness evolved around ensuring that others were happy for many, many years when I was running my first company. And certainly I put others before I put myself. And then eventually I reached the point of just breaking down and not understanding why I was feeling this way, but certainly trying to refocus my energy into the points that you ladies have mentioned, is about oneself and whether or not you could either create that or find that within yourself to get yourself back to a point to where you feel like there's a purpose. And I know Christina has talked to me a little bit about that as far as a purpose in life. And so, you know, I went through tragedy with obviously, you know, close loved one passing away. And that set me on my journey. I mean, it was a 3-year, probably 4-year recovery. But eventually I was able to find that happiness again. So totally relatable. Obviously, this comes from three different aspects. You know, Christina's being finance, yours being relationship, mine being, you know, just the purpose of how I perceived happiness in general, and not just applying that to others, but really trying to adapt that to me, and not having that burden of not being happy. So I think it's a great opener. So I'd like to get into the next question, which is, when you think about a time in the past far as happiness. What are some of those contributing factors? And I know we've all kind of talked about a little bit about our struggles, but at some point before those struggles came into play, even as youngsters, even as kids, or adolescents growing up in your high school years, you know, what were some of the contributing factors that allowed for you to feel, you know, that sense of happiness? Christina.
Mm-hmm. So when I go back, it's feeling supported, looking at life as an adventure, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. being on a schedule as far as, oh, you know, I'm 30. Oh my gosh, I need to hurry up and do whatever. Mm-hmm. What am I doing? You know, what am I doing with my life? But not having that timetable ahead of you and just really moving and going with the flow of life rather than resisting it.
Right.
Yeah, at some point I stopped going with the flow and I started resisting because of that timetable. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get this together. Oh man, you know, this is taking too long. I thought I was going to be here. And right. you thinking your timetable of you saying, okay, well, by 30, I'm going to be doing this, or by whatever, I'm going to be doing this. And if you get there or you get close to there and you're not quite where you want to be, that's where you start that. And I've talked to people who are, you know, as far as relationships, and it's been the same thing. Well, I thought I was going to be married by 30. I thought I was going to be having kids by 35 and this and the other, and I'm not. Oh my gosh, I want to do this. And trying to make something happen and fit into your mold, that's when you're resisting. Right. And when you resist, that's when all the pressure and the negativity comes in and the unhappiness, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. your life. So that's when I reflect back, that is what, that's what I would have to say.
Yeah, yeah. Nadine?
I love how we're getting all these different perspectives.
It's awesome. It's really awesome.
I do, because we're three such different people. See, for me, I was never worried about the timeline because I just got married so young. I was 19 when I got married. Mm. And, you know, by the age of 25, I was going through a divorce. And so, like, for me, everything went too quick. Mm-hmm. So for me, the things that, like, really stood out in my mind about what helped me be happy or the moments that I was happiest is really, really huge on who I surrounded myself with.
Right.
The voices that were in my life, the things that I was hearing, mm-hmm. You know, negative people versus positive people. If I was surrounded by really positive, happy people who saw the best in me, believed the best in me, that went so, so, so far. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is my health. So like being active and eating well and, you know, my mental health and just making sure that like everything was on par in terms of health, that always plays like a huge, huge factor in my happiness. So those are things I always put my health as number one. Like I always take care of my health first because I know that with that not working, or without me doing the best that I can with my health, there's only so far that I can go with the happiness factor. So that's a big one for me.
Well, thank you both for sharing. There's so much synergy in both stories, and you know, my happiness, very much like what Christina was talking about, you know, in my earlier adolescent life, a lot of happiness growing up in, you know, not necessarily a small town, but there in Mississippi, you know, surrounded by loved ones, you know, being kind of wild and free and having parents that, you know, instill discipline such as such as basically mining your elders and, you know, attending church and having the right structure and rigor in life, kind of chartered me to really seek out, you know, do others live and kind of endure some of the same qualities of life that I was enduring. And so when I was 17, I joined the Navy. I spent, you know, many years traveling around the world, a lot of different countries, looking at a lot of different cultures and exploring things. And then, of course, very much like you, Nadine, I got married early too. And, you know, that happiness of marriage ended in a very devastating part of my life, so bad that it's even heart-wrenching to really even talk about it. My mom never met my first wife. Things didn't work out quite as well as I would have expected for them to work out. And we were probably married at the age of 20, 21, probably divorced by the age of 22. I went on to have a second marriage with two beautiful daughters, and was in that marriage for about 12 years. And at the end of that marriage, as I was going through all of my mental anguish of losing such a close loved one and almost falling into a state of depression, I ended up realizing throughout this free fall that all of this effort of putting others before me and the materialistic things and all of the stuff that had came along with trying to create happiness for others didn't allow for me to be happy. And I found that when I hit rock bottom, and of course, you know, you've got the debt collectors and everybody coming after you. But I felt when I hit rock bottom, the only thing I could look forward to was coming out of it. I mean, you know, I figured I would come out of it at some point in time. But the only way to look at that when you're at rock bottom is to look up. Yeah. I mean, you have your faith, you have, you know, your mind and your abilities and your education behind you, and you just move forward in the best possible manner. And so I met such a wonderful and inspiring family through my second phase of happiness, which really transcended in a lot of parallels with my current wife and her family and my family, which brought me so much joy, which actually took me back to being a child and having that support mechanism of my family and uncles and cousins and relatives that brought me back to a sense of happiness in my life today. And I know that kind of went full circle, probably some almost 50 years that I just described, but it was one of those things that was almost, you know, for lack of better terms, it was a roller coaster ride, because I had to endure all of those things to really get me to a point to where I am today in my life.
Yeah.
That's amazing, you sharing that story. And the full circle thing is totally relevant, because that is why we ask that question in the first place. We ask, when, you know, in your past, have you been happy? Because the things that cause you happiness when you're a child are probably the same things that will cause you happiness as an adult. So it's actually really important to know the root of, you know, what derives that happiness, what draws that happiness out. And so your story of actually coming full circle and sort of reuniting with that child in you that was surrounded with family is completely relevant. And it totally makes a point of why do you even ask that question, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is great. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm really enjoying this. It's very, very much kind of therapeutic for me. So as we've talked about, you know, the sense of, you know, our past and happiness and really trying to define whether or not we're happy, you know, I'd like to kind of jump into a discussion with you both regarding how did you start that journey? I mean, Christina, you made a very good point earlier on in the notion of stating that you were happy, but you had to grow, you had to kind of set your charter, set your course towards becoming happy and begin to overcome those adversities and challenges. And so for you, Christina, how did you start that journey? I mean, how did you start to get to a point to where you start to feel like you're standing on solid ground and not wavered?
Mm-hmm. So it started with me being tired of being tired. I kept finding myself in the same positions, and at a point I had to say to myself, okay, I'm coming back here very often. Clearly, right. There's something that I'm missing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not seeing it. So I had to pray about, Lord, open my eyes, because clearly I was missing the mark. Mm-hmm. And just understanding, I mean, through prayer, through meditation, through reading, just understanding that, wow, okay. So it's not based upon what I have. Mm-hmm. On what I think I should have, it starts now. Right. I can be happy with what I have right now and just really counting my blessings. I mean, that's one of the places that I had to start, is just saying, okay, well, all right. So finances were, you know, my pain point. And yes, I want more, but mm-hmm. How can I be happy in this moment? I can be happy in this moment because I'm able, like I said, I'm able to pay my bills. I'm able to put, you know, we have food to eat. Mm-hmm. We have a roof over our head. We have clothes. We have a house. We have this. And I just had to keep going, you know, on a day by day basis. I had to live in this daily box.
Wow.
of just saying, okay, for today, do I have enough?
Yes. Right. That's powerful.
Yeah. And since I do, I am grateful. I am mm-hmm. grateful for what I have. And you didn't have to give this to me. You know, we're right. not. And that's what I had to rear back on, of being entitled. I'm just mm-hmm. like, Lord, you know, because what my thing was is that God had given me a vision, you know, since I've been little, and it's huge. Right. Mm-hmm. And of course, with that huge vision, I know it takes money. So I'm like, oh, okay, all right. So this is all going to happen. So I've just been waiting for it, right? Mm-hmm. And just like chasing after that thing, just like, when is this going to happen? When is it? And trying to make it happen on my own terms. And then when it doesn't happen, or if I fail at something or whatever it is, it just really knocks me down. Like, oh, yeah. Why would you show me this if you're not going to give it to me? Like, I just don't understand. Why is this mm-hmm. happening? And why is this the thing that I struggle with the most? If you said I'm supposed mm-hmm. to have a lot of it.
Right.
So just getting out of that, just like, one, honey, I don't owe you anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I woke you up today. That is a blessing in and of itself. You are breathing. Your kids are breathing. Your husband is breathing. You have a husband, you know? So just going down and just taking that, you know, taking the peels off that onion and just saying, okay, well, let me dig deep. And mm-hmm. what are the things that I do have? What you focus on, it expands. What you focus on, you get more of. So if I'm focusing on the lack of money, the bills that are stacking up, oh, how am I going to be doing this? I'm living outside of today, one.
Yeah.
And I can't control certain things that you can't control. You can't control what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
And who's to say I'm not going to get a check in the mail tomorrow to cover that bill that's waiting there, you know, that I'm supposed to be receiving. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Just living in that space and focusing on what you do have and the abundance of what you have for that day. Just like, that's why we talked about that bubble, living in the yep. bubble. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what I had to put myself in, my bubble. And just know that I am fully supported. I am taken care of. God loves me. Mm-hmm. And I have everything that I need for today. Tomorrow, I'll get there tomorrow. And I will do everything in my power and in my control to be able to prepare myself for tomorrow. But some of the things I just can't control.
Right.
And just learning to let go was a huge thing. And it was so hard. And surrender, that those words were like, You know, I didn't even know what they meant, what they truly yes. meant until I got into this. And this journey has been 3 years for me. So yeah,
wow.
it's been very much a process and a journey.
Wow, that's amazing.
Nadine? Yeah. Yeah. And it's so key. I love what you said about just the gratefulness. Like, I could not have described it better. For me, when it really started was when I started becoming self-aware. I pretty much ignored my emotions up until I was about 30 years old. And that's part of why I suffered so much from depression, is I was just basically like, if I was hurt or my feelings were hurt or I was sad or angry, I didn't even recognize when I was hurt or sad. I just internalized it and got sick from it. And so when I was about 30 years old, I started really to recognize, okay, there's some feeling inside of me and it's not a good feeling. And what is this feeling? Where is it coming from? Am I hurt? Am I sad? Like, I was in such a, like, I was in such avoidance of my emotions. So when I started getting some self-awareness and saying, oh, wow, I think that what that person just said to me actually really hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm, so I was finally able to address, okay, first of all, number one, my feelings are really hurt and like my heart hurts right now. Number two, I had to start talking about it and expressing it. And that was literally like I would have preferred to climb Mount Everest. It was the most terrifying thing in the world for me. Mm-hmm. And I had to slowly, you know, with the partner that I had at the time, say, it was so hard. I would say what you just said or what you just did, like, it really hurt my feelings. Like, I feel hurt. I was so afraid of being rejected every time that I would express my feelings. And sometimes, you know what? I did get rejected because people were not used to me even acknowledging that I had feelings. So they're like, what? All of a sudden you're offended by things. All of a sudden this hurts you. All of a sudden things are upsetting you. And so I had to sort of live the rejection and then do it again. And then do it again. And then do it again. And then, you know, that's how I started creating content, is like the first few times that I was opening up and expressing myself, there was a slew of people who were like, why are you doing this? You don't need validation. Like, what are you? You're going to like make yourself look so bad as a life coach. Like, there was all this negativity. And then I just did it again and again and again and again. And so just by practicing that self-awareness and practicing expressing and recognizing, okay, this is how I feel. I can speak about how I feel. I can acknowledge it. I can express it. And no matter what comes my way, I still have that freedom. Nothing and nobody in the world can stop me from acknowledging how I feel and doing something about how I feel. So that is really like, in essence, my journey of how I've been able to reach like a happiness. Because now if something is bothering me, I can acknowledge it and do something about it right away.
Yep. Wow. Wow, that, man, I'm trying to find my box of tissues around here. You guys, I mean, you know, as I'm thinking about what you ladies are expressing and how it is so relatable, you know, as I remind the audience, you know, we're talking about how to start the journey to become solid and not be wavered. You know, I guess my journey started, again, back at this tragic moment that happened in my life through a close loved one, because prior to that happening, you know, I was probably on a 12-year run of give, you know, buy, just, you know, like I said, trying to make sure everyone else around me was happy. And the very first step that I took to basically say, well, Greg, you're not happy doing this, you know, I had to basically realize, after I finished spiraling from the US down to Latin America, you know, on my journey of trying to find my purpose again, I had to step back. And I, like Christina said, you know, I had to pray, I had to ask for the Lord to help. But I also had to step into a space in my mind to apologize to myself and say, you know what, why have I not been giving as much effort to me as I've been giving to others? Mm-hmm. And when I decided to cross that threshold, to make that conscious decision, was the breaking point for me to become solid, because what that allowed for me to do is, like you had indicated earlier, Nadine, you know, you had all of these people saying, oh, if you don't do this, you don't do that. And how hurtful those things were. They were very hurtful to me, because people were like, well, you used to give it to me. You used to do this. You used to do that. And I'm thinking like, well, wait, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so I got to a point after I got back to the U.S. after my 3-year hiatus in Peru, I got to a point to where I said, in order for me to kind of continue this journey of self-awareness and purpose, you know, I'm gonna put myself out there. I'm gonna be vulnerable, and I'm gonna say, yes, you know, maybe I should have provided everyone with forewarning. Yes, I maybe should have made a better decision. Yes, I'm sorry if I hurt you, but I'm here, you know, to try to support you and kind of move forward with our relationship. But in the same aspect, when I made myself vulnerable during that period of time of trying to rekindle things that may have happened in the past, I came back to that same point in my life and said, okay, Greg, you can't change people's minds. And so if they can't accept the transformation that you've gone through and the sacrifices that you've endured and where you are in your life at this moment in time, I think that's where Christina was getting to, where you are at this moment in time, then you can't allow for that to continue to pull you back into a space that, you know, is only going to bring you back to an unhappy situation. And so at the end of like, I can't even remember. I want to say it was like 2017. I was just wrapping up a project. When I came back to the U.S., I was actually working for an oil and gas company. And I just wasn't happy. I mean, yeah, I was doing great things. I was making great money, but I just wasn't happy. I needed to go back and do the consultancy thing again. And my wife was very much, you know, an advocate for that. She supported me immensely on that. And as soon as I stepped out of that mode and went back to doing consultancy work again, I said to myself, because I knew things would get back to, as Christina said, the financial, you know, everything would fall back into play when you had a little bit more control. But I had one determination at that point, was to cut off the apologies and stop living, you know, in the shadows of what other people expected, and start living for what Greg Proctor needed to feel, and that desire, you know, to have that purpose, you know, to be happy, you know, and enjoy life. And it's taken many, many years to get to that point. And as Nadine very well knows, and as I'm sharing with our listening audience, it was a struggle, you know, because there's still family out there right now, because, you know, I used to give, you know, they still have that frame of mind that, you know, well, you're back now and you should be able to do this. Well, no, I shouldn't be able to do this. You should be able to do for yourself. You should be able to go through the same transformation and understand that you create your own happiness, not through me, but through yourself. And so that is really where I became solid and actually began to kind of step out of my shell and start to become somewhat vulnerable and open myself up to people and just feel a sense of not necessarily wealth or materialistic value, but just pure happiness in life and not be so surrounded by stuff that really doesn't matter. Like Christina said, I mean, you know, you can't control what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow. So just live in today.
Yeah. That's so good. It's so many people need to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, a lot of the times why people are not happy is because we're trying to make other people happy before ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's such a valuable like lesson to be learned there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been truly, truly amazing. I have a couple more questions. I do apologize. I mean, this has gone a little bit longer than what we had originally planned, but this has been such a therapeutic discussion. And I guess I'll start with Christina with this question here. So with regards to the things that we've talked about and, you know, your triumph successes in getting yourself back to where you are in life, do you find that you're closer to your goal, or are you still in strive to adjust and revalidate that purpose of happiness?
I feel like I am way closer. The moment that I let go, and let me tell you, this is a daily thing, right? So the moment I wrapped my head around letting go and actually surrendered and consistently do so, things, remember when I said going with the flow of life rather than resisting?
Yeah.
So when you are trying to control, you're resisting, right? And when you let go and you surrender, you're working, you're going with the flow. So it's, you're going with the, you know, with the waves rather than crashing against them. And I've been crashing for a long time. So, and I never really understood the fact until now of still working hard and giving your all and, you know, putting everything in there and, you know, grinding and all that other, you know, all the other adverbs that they use to describe that. But doing that, but then having peace and still having it where it's you're at ease. And I didn't understand that because for me, I was taught in what I read and, you know, what I read would always emphasize it being difficult. You know, it was sacrifice. I lost sleep. I lost time with my family and this, that, and the other. And I had a divorce and I, you know, like you just get that imprinted in your mind that it's supposed to be hard. So if it doesn't feel hard, then I'm not doing it right. And that's what I was thinking. And I was wrong. I was very wrong. So it wasn't until, you know, going through this journey and then finally kind of comparing my relationship with my husband to my career. And my relationship with my husband has been completely easy.
Right.
And when I explained that to my friend, she's like, wait, so you mean to tell me that it's just easy? Like y'all don't have any problems or anything? I said, no. you still face obstacles. There's still trials that come, but what happens when those things present themselves is that it's handled with ease. There's no stress that comes from it. There's nothing for me to come to him and say, hey, you know, I didn't like that you did this, or him to do the same thing for me, or hey, we're facing this difficulty together. It's an effort, and both of us are putting in the work. And it's still a lot of work. It's still daily work. And you're putting in your all, but I'm letting go of the things that I don't have control over. I can control me and how I react to things and what I do. I can't control him.
Sure.
I can't control the, you know, what our relationship does. And that's what I had to apply to my career in finances, of just knowing, okay, I just got to pull back and do what I can do, and then let the rest, I'm leaving it at God's feet.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. That's truly amazing. Nadine?
Yeah, letting go is so huge. So I definitely, I'm a very ambitious person. And so when I think of, you know, happiness, sometimes that often goes with like the dream that you had, right? And it kind of goes hand in hand with like, oh, well, happiness is when I am finally in that moment that I've been dreaming of for so long. But I've kind of adjusted my thinking in that sense. Is, am I in that space yet? Like that scenario and that perfect circumstance that I've always dreamed of? No, I'm not. But often what I think about is, if I die today, could I say that I died happy and successful? And I look around and I evaluate, well, I have a close relationship with my children. I've impacted people positively. I've overcome a lot of things in my life. I personally can die and say that I died a happy person. And to me, that is what is so important. I want people in my life to know that if I die today, I died feeling like a happy and successful person. Without even if I didn't reach the ultimate, let's say dream, because a lot of us, our lives, you know, we never know what will happen. And a lot of people don't have the privilege of really experiencing that dream that they had ever since whatever age. But that doesn't mean that they died an unhappy person. And so that's kind of how I evaluate it. I take the time to sit and say, okay, if today was my last day, would I be able to say, you know, I'm a happy person, I'm successful? How am I defining that happiness? How am I defining that success? So I feel confident to say that if that were to happen to me today, I could say that.
Wow. Wow, that's powerful. I commend both of you for sharing that. In my case, the notion of am I closer to happiness really comes down to, and in my mind, I always wanted to kind of leave a legacy. You know, of something that people would kind of admire or kind of have some type of admiration to achieve. And so for me, being a descendant of slavery, I have always, you know, been very interested in my family tree and going back and looking and really understanding kind of what makes me tick. And I've done a lot of that upfront legwork so that, you know, I can leave kind of that digital stamp, you know, for generations to come. And also as a part of that, you know, as both of you have stated, and I think I'll kind of segue into what Nadine was talking about as far as passing away. For me, I truly believe that I have lived a fulfilled life, even with the struggles and the challenges that have happened. I aspire to continue to grow and learn and nurture and be very impactful in others' lives. And so that also creates a part of my happiness. I've lived in a materialistic, you know, wealth and phase of that. And truly, that doesn't make me happy. I mean, it actually becomes like an old Biggie Smalls or Notorious B.I.G. song, you know, more problem, more money, more problems. I mean, it's somewhat, you know, kind of how I see that. Not to say that you shouldn't have prosperity in your life, but certainly, you know, going forward, you know, I just truly believe that you make life what you see it to be, regardless of other notions or perceive influences. And if you're happy in the space that you're in, which I am, passing away and moving forward completes that happiness. And that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I don't want to go off and say I'm going to leave, you know, my kids with wealth and fame and fortune. No, I want my kids to work their, you know, what's off to strive to get there just like everyone else, because it's a part of life. And, you know, happiness for me is just making sure I've set the stage for the next generation to be able to leverage whatever works, whatever things I've left behind to excel and grow. That's happiness.
Legacy is a huge one.
Yeah.
Such a huge one. And I don't know if this is the same for you, Christina, but do you find that it seems to be like more emphasized with men, like the need to have that legacy, or do you think it's pretty much generally like all people?
So I
putting her on the spot here.
Yes, you did.
A lot of men talking about it, but that is one thing that I was and still am very, very passionate about generational wealth and leaving a legacy. Yeah, but you let my friend tell it. She says I have a lot of male tendencies anyway. I can't really say because I've even went as far as my son's name. I had to keep, you know, our name in the family. And that's what I was saying. Yeah. I couldn't let my name die. She's like, you sound like a guy. But that's his middle name is my maiden name. So, But I do hear a lot of men talking about legacy, and that's one of the things that they really, really want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry to bring that whole, not to distinguish the genders. I love studying the difference when it comes to men and women and how some things are so similar and yet some things are so different. But this was an interesting one because legacy and just leaving, you know, that legacy, it's just something I've heard expressed so often with men and not so often with women, but I do still hear it a lot of times with women. So I think that's pretty awesome, Christina, that's like up at the forefront for you, like as a something that's important to leave behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, overall, you know, obviously I'm the only male on this conversation, but, you know, for lack of trying to move forward just with just a quick remark on the whole legacy thing, I think for me, you know, particularly as I had emphasized earlier about, you know, one of my passions has been looking back upon my family tree, and I'm already back like some 250 years, maybe 300 years, you know, right at the forefront of when, you know, my DNA or great great grandparents came across on the boat. So to me, the legacy aspect of this is so ingrained for me with understanding the aspect of unity and connectivity of how we all are kind of from a mankind perspective. And I guess let me just really get to my point. The thing here that I've found through going back through my family tree is that I've got Irish and Asian and Caucasian. I mean, you know, all of the genders of race begin to kind of blend through this whole family tree. And it's shocking to me that when you start to consider a name, when you talk about legacy, whether it's Thomas or Lingua or Proctor, you know, people relate to that. You know, they relate to kind of the name or the brand. And I guess the word I'm trying to get to is really, you know, it is legacy, but it's really about leaving a brand. You know, when people think of your name, they want to think of that name as being someone that provided, you know, a very influential mark on mm-hmm. the world today, or was that just a name that you don't really even want to be associated by? And I'd like to have my last name checked in a good box.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the last question I have, I mean, out of all the dialogue, I mean, this has been just great. It's been wonderful. Is the secret of happiness, is it not found in seeking more, but developing the capacity to enjoy less? Christina, what are your thoughts on that? True or false?
True in a sense, as long as you truly understand what that means. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I say that because it's easy to, and I used to hate for the longest, I used to hate the word content mm-hmm. because I would see it used and people say, oh, well, you know, I'm content. I'm satisfied with where I'm at. And they would be satisfied. They would be making themselves satisfied, right? And mm-hmm. for me, content was synonymous with settling. And that is something that I said I wouldn't settle for anything. I'm not settling for, you know, marriage. I'm not settling in and finances. I'm not settling for career wise, children, nothing. So I started.
Good girl.
I really resented that word. But just knowing the heart of what you're saying is that no. We're not saying that you have to be content in the manner of just staying there, of just saying, okay, well, this is what it is. So I've got to be content with living with less. And mm-hmm. so I'm going to fixate my mind and just say, oh, I'm so grateful for this. I'm grateful for that. And oh my goodness, you know, I'm able to just pay my mortgage and, you know, Lord, ooh, thank you. You know, and you have to stay in there and you don't, and it's wrong to desire more and it's wrong to go for more and it's wrong to believe more. It's not wrong for that, you know? So as long as you can be content and with the expectation that, hey, more is coming. I know that more is on the way, but Lord, I know that one, you don't have to do that for me, but I want to be the best that I can. And I know that you desire for me to have an abundant life. Yeah. I know that you desire for me to have more than just to, for me to get, you know, get happy and be able to just pay my mortgage. Right. You want me to have an abundant life so that I can be fruitful for others and that I can be giving, even though I'm giving at this point right now. But ooh, when you really lay it on, I want to be able to lay it on to others too, you know? Right. So just being able to be content, but still be expectant.
Yeah.
Sure.
And, and mixing those two together, I think that's where the magic happens.
Said that so well.
Wow. Wow.
Stole the words. I mean, I didn't even have those words. Could not have said it better.
Wow. Well, Nadine, what are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, Christina really...
She nailed it out the park, really.
She did. I mean, she did. I was just going to say, I think that it truly is both. It's never being satisfied in the sense that personal growth and just knowing what you are capable of and making sure that you're always wanting to go for the biggest potential that you can have. But also in that journey and in that seeking, being grateful for where you are at. So yeah, it pretty much mirrors what Christina is saying.
Wow. Well, well, I can't say that I disagree. I certainly have to agree with you both on that. Certainly outside of just looking for the simple aspect of growth, I think, you know, there's a self-preservation of how we look at ourselves inside out that also comes into play. As we look at happiness, and really that doesn't really even have a value on it. You know, you can't really put a price tag on how you look at yourself inside out. And so to me, I agree with both of you. I mean, it's there's a common ground there where you shouldn't settle. Certainly you have to be very aware and conscientious of what is required to live within whatever means that you set your goals or parameters or lifestyle around. And, you know, I've met people at all levels, you know, whether you're a Fortune 500 company, CEOs that are my clients, or small businesses such as myself, and people find happiness at different levels. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean that they're has to be any type of external influences involved. And so to me, you know, happiness is what you make it. I mean, and so therefore, when you define it as what you make it, to me, the ability to have more applies to the effort that you put into it. And to me, effort, if someone wants to equate that to money, well, to me, effort is free. It's just a matter of being able to do it, you know, and put forth the energy to overcome it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, this has been outstanding. So I'm going to jump into our, I'm going to jump into closing remarks and basically try to wrap this segment up. And so, you know, just a few recaps that I have here from my notes is, you know, we've talked about, you know, kind of, are you happy? You know, this is about you. And one of the things that kind of glean from, you know, this dialogue is about putting yourself in a bubble, as Christina had alluded to, and you know, looking at things day by day and not clouding your vision with a lot of external things that sometimes fall well beyond your control. And understanding that the struggles of your careers, your pain points, your family, you know, these type of things are going to happen. We all experience these things each and every day of our lives. And probably, you know, the last two points that I want to make is identifying with the choices we make, you know, because those things provide a very relevant, a very coherent means to structuring or charting your journey towards happiness. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately asking yourself, is this happening? Because that becomes the challenge, you know, with regards to whether or not you're able to turn on the switch to do something about it, or leave the switch off and continue to live your life as you're presently living it. And so with those final remarks from me, Christina, do you have any final remarks for our audience?
I mean, you summed it up pretty well. So those were definitely the major takeaways. Just really getting clear on what it is that you want. Just like Nadine had brought up, what made you happy before and what we talked about, and getting clear on those emotions. Emotions are really, and feelings are everything. And mm-hmm. just knowing the things that, yes, maybe you want this big house, but what will you feel when you're in that house?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, is it peace? Is it joy? Is it happiness? What are those things that are surrounding that? And when you get clear on the feelings that you want, when you get your spouse, how do you want your relationship to be? Mm-hmm. What do you want to feel? How do you want them to make you feel? Once you get clear on those emotions and those feelings, then start feeling those now. When you close your eyes and you visualize the your spouse or that house, or, you know, the new car, or whatever it is, feel those feelings and start mm-hmm. feeling these things every single day, because those are the things that you can control right now, today. And those are the things that you can experience. It's not the spouse, it's not the house, and it's not the car, it's not the money that's going to bring you those things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those are just additions, yes. Right?
Sure.
So just getting clear on that and experiencing that on a daily basis and being grateful and just knowing that you can be happy right now today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 Nadine?
Yeah. Being grateful, letting go. Remember that you can't make other people happy if you yourself are not happy.
Right.
So, you know, you first, as much as that might seem counterintuitive, knowing and taking care of yourself is the first and best way that you can take care and love other people and make others happy.
Excellent. 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 Well, I certainly like to thank both of our special guests, Christina Thompson and Nadine Lingois. This is episode 7. It's about you. I'm your host, Gregory Proctor. Ladies, again, this has been absolutely awesome. I hope we can come up with something else to do another podcast on. This has been wonderful. And I truly thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support and commitment and dedication to making this a success. And I'd like to wish you a wonderful and blessed day. Goodbye to our audience. Goodbye. Again, this is Greg Proctor. Cut to the chase. Bye-bye. Take care.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.